Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Because the king has shown so much love for you, Lord Krishna will certainly accept him. Purport. King Prataprudra requested an interview with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the Bhattacharya, who duly submitted the request. The Lord, however, immediately refused this interview. Now, when Ramananda Rai informed the Lord how eager the king was to see him, the Lord was immediately pleased. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Ramananda Rai to retire from his government post and come to Sri Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, to live with him. When this proposal was submitted to King Prataprudra, he immediately accepted it and also encouraged Ramananda Rai by allowing him a full pension. This was very much appreciated by the Lord. And this confirms the fact that the Lord is more pleased when one serves the servant of the Lord. In ordinary parlance, it is said, if you love me, love my dog. To approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to go through his confidential servant. This is the method. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clearly says, because the king loves you, Ramananda Rai, he is very fortunate. Krishna will certainly accept him due to his love for you. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Paramananda Madhavam Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Sarva Shastra Abdi Piyush Sarva Vedai Kasatvala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadhya Sarva Lokaika Drik Prada Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavatam Prabhu Kali Dhvanto Dita Aditya Shri Krishna Parivartita. Hare Krishna. First of all, I'd like to take blessings from all the senior devotees, proper disciples present here. Before continuing our discussion on this subject matter called the Path of Grace, where we are discussing the story of Maharaj Prataprudra trying to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and have been discussing the analogy of how when one applies for a visa, one has to put all his documents in place, but simply putting all the documents in place does not ensure a visa. Putting all the documents in place is simply an expression of sincerity to want that visa, and based on the discretion of the visa officer, does one get a visa. And so we were talking about devotional service as being effort plus grace, and therefore it is truly a path of grace, where the proportion of grace that comes in the life of a practitioner is way more compared to the effort that is being put by the practitioner. And therefore, considering this analogy, we have been talking the different documents that Maharaj Prataprudra is trying to put in place to get the grace of Sriman Mahaprabhu. And so far, we have discussed the different qualities that Maharaj Prataprudra had, which were his documents. Firstly, he approached the right person to know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvam Bhattacharya, his guru. Secondly, he had an intense desire to achieve the mercy of Sriman Mahaprabhu. That was the second document. Thirdly, he had tremendous faith in the words of Sarvam Bhattacharya. When he said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, he had no problem with that. He accepted it based on the words of Sarvam Bhattacharya. The fourth document he had in his place was his service attitude towards the Lord, Sarvam Bhattacharya had asked Prataprudra Maharaj to arrange for a residence for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we discussed yesterday. And that service attitude is very pleasing to the Lord. The fifth quality we discussed of Prataprudra Maharaj was he was undemanding. He did not demand. Whereas Sarvam Bhattacharya was introducing all the simple devotees of Jagannath Puri, and they had taken them to the residence of Kashi Mishra where Lord Chaitanya stayed. That house was donated by Prataprudra Maharaj. And everyone else got entry except the donor. And that's really, really crushing to the ego. He was very much wanting to be in there. Everyone was in there from Puri except one man. And that was the person who was desperate to see Mahaprabhu. And that was the person who had done so much. That was the person who had given that house and arranged for that residence. He didn't give entry. That was the fifth document in place. Undemanding. He took himself truly to be like a beggar with a bowl in his hand, waiting for the grace to come. And therefore, the title of this seminar is Bhakti is the Path of Grace. After having given this residence to Lord Chaitanya, all the devotees met Lord Chaitanya. And suddenly, Ramananda Rai, he arrived from Kavur, South India, Andhra Pradesh, on the banks of the river Godavari. Anyone here been to Kavur? It's a beautiful place. On the banks of the river Godavari, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat and spoke to this great soul called Ramananda Rai, who was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a Gaudiya Mutt there today called Ramananda Gaudiya Mutt in the name of Sri Ramananda Rai. Beautiful place. Ramananda Rai returned from Andhra Pradesh, South India, to come to Odisha, Jagannath Puri. And even before going to take darshan of Lord Jagannath in the temple, he went straight to the house of Kashi Mishra, Gambhira, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing. He went and he offered his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then started talking to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, "My dear Lord, I must tell you something. This king, Prataprudra Maharaj, he wants to meet you. He is desperate to meet you. And he's been so kind to me. You always wanted that I resign from my government post and come to Jagannath Puri and stay with you. And I was working under the king. I was one of his ministers. But King Prataprudra immediately agreed. He said, Lord Chaitanya has called you. No problem. You go. Not just that he asked me to go. Tumaraje vartan tumi khau se vetan. He told me, whatever is your vetan salary, I'll give you full salary. Full pension for not working. That's a very rare boss. You know, very rare bosses in the world who can ask the employees to keep working and not pay. You know, there was one man, a boss in a company, and he advertised in the newspapers for the post of a head warrior. Worrying. The post of a head warrior. And many candidates came, they failed. So one candidate, he came, he passed the interview. So the boss said, so any questions you have? He said, what is my job profile? He said, your job profile is to worry about everything in the office. Everything. Any trouble, any problem, you simply have to worry about that. I don't have to take all the worry. Because I'm the boss. You should worry for it all. You're the head warrior. You know. So this guy said, well, I'll take all the worry on my head. My question is, how much salary will you pay to me? He said, that is your first worry. How much salary will you get? And therefore, bosses in this world, they can get the employees to work a lot. But if the employees don't do the work, there's something called as a layoff. An employee layoff. And in the current economic scenario, in the United States of America, in the UK, in Europe, because of such a massive financial crunch, you know, so many employees are being laid off. If someone doesn't work, why would we pay him? Prataprudra Maharaj told Lord Chaitanya, you asked me to come here. Maharaj Prataprudra said to Maharaj Prataprudra released me from my job and he's giving me a full salary.
तुम्हारे जे वर्तन तुम्ही व्हाट एवर इज युअर वेतन सैलरी बिफोर खाओ से वेतन यू कीप टेकिंग दैट सैलरी नो वर्क आई रिलीज यू फ्रॉम वर्क फुल सैलरी निश्चिंत होया भजो तुम्ही चैतन्य रचरण विथ ग्रेट पीस इन युअर माइंड यू वर्शिप द लोटस फीट ऑफ चैतन्य महाप्रभु आई हैव बीन वॉन्टिंग टू डू इट आई कुडंट गेट इट आई एम नॉट एबल टू गेट इट एंड यू आर गेटिंग इट इजिली ना यू गो एंड यू वर्शिप श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु टेक अ फुल सैलरी एंड दिस वॉज द सिक्स्थ डॉक्यूमेंट दैट ही हैड इन प्लेस सर्विस टू द लॉर्ड इज वेरी इजी सर्विस टू द डिवोटी इज वेरी डिफिकल्ट सर्विंग द डीटी इज वेरी सिंपल बिकॉज डीटी डजंट स्पीक हाउ मेनी टाइम डीटी हैज मेड अ फोन कॉल सेइंग व्हाई यू डिडंट कम लास्ट संडे How many times the DT will call up saying, Prabhu, you are not there for the service. What were you doing? DTs don't speak. They only speak to very advanced souls. And such advanced souls don't need to be reminded to come for program. They are always here. You know. Devotees are dangerous species. You know. They keep intruding in the life of a practitioner. Every now and then keep calling, this service is there, come. This program is there, come. Why haven't you come for so long? What is the problem? This, that, and if they don't turn up, they come for lunch without announcing. Straight go to the house for lunch. You know, straight away, because the person is not coming. There was one, my favorite story which I always tell. There was this Christian priest. And he saw that this man was coming to the church regularly. And it had now been a year that this man was not coming. Jesus on the cross didn't go to his house. Neither did the cross go. But the priest decided, he's not come, I'll go unannounced. He went to this man's house. This was in England. And because England is cold, there was a fireplace, not the artificial ones. You know, where they only have the stones and the coal kept and nothing comes out. No fire is there. It was a true fireplace and this man was sitting right next to the fireplace, heating himself up. The priest came and sat right there. A few minutes, there was silence in the room. No talk, no nothing. The priest, he took a pair of tongs and pulled out a burning cinder of charcoal from the fireplace and put it outside. The fire was gone. In few minutes, the fire was extinguished. There's no fire at all. After a while, as the fire was extinguished, the priest again took this piece of charcoal and put it back in the fire. Once again, the fire was burning in that piece of charcoal. And the priest didn't say a word. He came to talk to this man. Why are you not coming to church? He didn't say a word. He went back. The next Sunday the man was there. It was a silent sermon. A silent pravachan. Without speaking a word, he had given a very big message. That when one is in the fire of the association of devotees, then the fire is burning. As soon as one is out of the fire, like the piece of charcoal, that fire is dead and gone. Doesn't matter. If one jumps into the association again, the fire again, once again that spark is ignited and the enthusiasm continues. And therefore we find DTs don't call up. DTs don't give surprise visits at home. Bald priests do. You know, suddenly turn for lunch and saying, so what's home for lunch today? Oh Prabhuji, actually sorry, I started eating onion garlic in the last 6 months. I said, no problem, get me some shlar. You know, offer it and get me some shlar or orange juice, I'll take that. And over a cup of shlar or orange juice, then a silent sermon, sometimes a very verbal, vocal sermon goes on. Therefore, to serve deities and the Lord is very simple, easy. To go and talk to the deities is very simple. But to be able to serve the devotees, very difficult. Very difficult. Because that needs a lot of humility and humbling of the false ego to be able to serve someone in flesh and bone. You know, someone standing there as a deity, although made of marble, still philosophically we reason. Oh, it's Krishna, he did Ras Leela, but there is a rationale behind it. But when devotees act in certain ways, one cannot have that much faith easily. In the Lord and in the deity, to put faith is easy. But to put faith in devotees is very difficult. When one sees devotees, the apparent behavior of devotees, sometimes one is bewildered. And therefore to serve someone, and especially an equal, too much. And here it wasn't even an equal. Ramanand Rai was apparently a subordinate. King Prataprudra was the king and Ramanand Rai was working under the king as a minister. Although he had served the Lord by arranging for a house for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the next document was, it wasn't just service to the Lord. It was now service to a devotee of the Lord, a close associate, Shripad Ramanand Rai. Prabhupada was in Mayapur and he built the quarters for devotees first. The temple for Radha Madha was not built first. Residence quarters for devotees was built first. So one man came and asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you're building the quarters for the devotees first. First you should have made a temple for the deities, the Lord. Prabhupada said, the devotees will come. They will chant kirtan. And then automatically the temple for the Lord will come. And he said, facility for the devotees is firstly more important than facility for the deities. Because as soon as facility for the devotees is created, the deities are pleased, the Lord is pleased, and automatically the Lord gives resources to make facility for themselves. When Prabhupada was in Juhu, Hare Krishna land Juhu, Mr. Patel, Dr. Patel, he was a big argumentator. He would come and really eat Prabhupada's head. You know, on those morning walks, my God, he would really argue like anything. And one day his argument was, Swamiji, you made the residential quarters for your devotees, and I see that the residential quarters for your devotees is on the first floor and the deities are on the ground floor. So you put your devotees higher than the Lord. Srila Prabhupada said, I have not put anyone higher than anyone. He said, Krishna has put the devotees higher than himself. And Prabhupada quoted, Mad bhaktaha pujabhyadika, where Krishna says, my devotee is more worshipable than me. And therefore Prabhupada quotes here in this purport, love me, love my dog. In common parlance it is said, if you want to love me, love my dog. And therefore, Prataprudra Maharaj didn't just serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He served Ramananda Rai. And not just Ramananda Rai. When all the devotees from Bengal came, you know, it's easy to serve God. It's easy to serve a close associate of God also. You know, many times devotees want access to the closest associates, to the Guru, to Srila Prabhupada. But to serve the general devotees whom one doesn't know, oh, that is really difficult. Very difficult. If one goes to Bangladesh, na, the service attitude of the devotees in Bangladesh, my God, the Bangladeshi Vaishnavas, followers of Sriman Mahaprabhu, they have such incredible service attitude to whoever comes, from the president of the temple to the resident of the temple. Does not matter. President or resident, big devotee, small devotee, close associate or a general associate, does not matter. There's such amazing service attitude in Bangladesh. Any devotee who visits there, these Vaishnavas, simple, very simple. They don't have much. Bangladesh was voted to be the poorest country, practically speaking, in the world. They have hardly anything in terms of resources, money, facility. But they have the greatest of all wealth. Service attitude, not to the Lord, not to the big devotees, but to any general devotee. And how do they serve? Their feast comprises minimum of 40 items. With hardly any money they have, the minimum feast that they offer their guests is 40 items and about 20 sabjis, 8 to 9 sweets, 5 chutneys, 6 savories, 2 drinks. And they will keep serving, keep serving, keep serving. And then they will wait to wash the hands. They'll keep with the cup with a jug of water to wash the hands of the devotees and see if something can get, they can get out of that, some remnants. After that, they will come to wipe the hands with a towel. They'll come to wipe the hands, literally, you know. After that, they'll arrange for a place to rest. And after the resting place, they'll come and say, can we massage you? My God. Some of our devotees went to Bangladesh. And some of the devotees said, well, good service, can we have some time for ourselves, please? Because they would be always around the room, massage, you know, something like this, what can we do for you? And therefore, to have a service attitude for the devotees in general, anyone, is very difficult. When devotees from Mayapur came for the Rathayatra festival, there were many devotees whom Pratapruddha did not know. And he said, okay. He called his assistants, gave them money and gave them orders, get garlands, get sandalwood paste for them, get prasad from the Jagannath temple, arrange residential quarters. He didn't just arrange for residence for Lord Chaitanya. He arranged for residences for all the devotees from Kulinagram, from Shrikhanda, from Navadvip, from all the places around Mayapur. Because he understood, if you love me, love my dog. There was a very big wealthy man in America. Big man. He donated 50 acres of land for a park. And he was considered like a very charitable sage then. He was asked, so what do you get out of giving? He said, dollars that come to us give us three kicks. He said, dollars that come to us gives us three kicks. The first kick is in earning the dollars. As one earns the dollars, more and more and more, there's a kick. I'm getting, I'm gaining, I'm earning. Sometimes people keep looking at their bank balance every day. And that figure itself says, oh, nice, nice. I'm heading somewhere. So first is the kick of earning, he said. He said, apart from the kick of earning, he said, is the key kick of saving. Because many earn and they spend. Warren Buffet said, do not first spend and then save. First save and then spend. Many people will earn and spend. The first kick is of earning. He said the second kick is of having, maintaining, saving. And he said the greatest, the third kick is of giving. He said all my life I kept getting the first two kicks of earning and saving. I have given practically all of this, my 50 acres land, because now I want the kick of giving. The pleasure of giving. Maharaj Pratap Rudra was using all his resources to get the kick, not of giving, but the kick of pleasing. The kick of giving, charity is one thing, but the kick of pleasing, to see a smile on Lord Chaitanya's face, to a smile on the face of the devotees, that kick is an intoxicating kick. Even charity giving cannot give that pleasure. Even giving in charity cannot give that pleasure. To see how devotees are pleased and happy, because Krishna is pleased. And therefore, Maharaj Pratap Rudra put this document in place. Serving not just Ramananda Raya, the intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya, but all the general associates and devotees who came from Shridham Mayapur, Kulinagram, Shrikhanda, arranged for residences, prasadam, for all of these associates. Shripad Madhvacharya in Udupi, he had many sannyasi disciples. They were all very qualified, very talented, very knowledgeable people. And he had a bull, a bullock. And this bullock would always be carrying all the books of Shripad Madhvacharya. Simply serving a Vaishnava, nothing else. Madhvacharya. And he didn't even know he was serving a Vaishnava. Simply carrying all the books. And many sannyasis were coming to Shripad Madhvacharya and saying, hey, Gurudev, can we write commentaries on this Vedas? And Madhvacharya would say, the bull will write, you get out. And none of them could figure out, bull? Bull is a bull. Bull is dull. What will the bull write a commentary? Every single time they came to Madhvacharya, he just chucked them out, big sannyasis and scholars. He said, the bull will write the commentaries. And all these sannyasis got so envious of this bull, they arranged for a snake to be sent to bite the bull and kill the bull. Madhvacharya realized this. And in spite of the snake biting the bull, Madhvacharya blessed the bull not to die. And the bull still continued to live, carrying all the books. Simply carrying all the books of Madhvacharya from one place to another. That's all. Eventually by old age, the bull died.
Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki, Jai Shri Radha Gokul Ananda Bhagavan ki, Jai.
The bull died. And after the death of the bull, in his next life, he was born in a family of someone called as Raghunath and Sakhubai Deshpande in Maharashtra. He was born in a place near Pandharpur where Lord Vitthal is. And he was given the name Dhondopant. In Marathi, Dhonda means a rock. You know, rock. I don't know if it was given based on his previous birth, that dull like a bull, so dull like a rock. He got the name Dhondo, Dhondopant. And this Dhondopant, my God, he was a handsome man. Absolutely handsome. Very talented warrior now. He knew how to use all the weapons very well. He was a very expert horse rider. And in Pandharpur one day, he was passing through the river Chandrabhaga. He was riding his horse at the speed of light inside the water of Chandrabhaga. And he was so thirsty, he couldn't get down as he was riding the horse to drink water. He was so thirsty, he just put his hand down as he was riding the horse. He put his hand down in the water like this, and as the water was splashing while riding the horse, he opened his mouth and drank the water while riding the horse. A Madhva Sannyasi, Akshubhya Tirtha, was standing on the banks of the river Chandrabhaga. He saw this Dhondopant riding the horse and drinking water like this, hand in the water and mouth open. And he thought only animals drink water like this. He asked him a question in Sanskrit. Kim pashavaha purvadehe? Purvadehe, in your past life, kim pashavaha? Were you an animal? And suddenly this one question triggered off all the memories. He said, yes, I was an animal. I was a bull. I was a bull carrying books for Shripad Madhvacharya in Udupi. And immediately this Dhondopant came and gave his life to Akshubhya Tirtha and said, I surrender my life unto you. Give me sannyas right now. And he was married. So as soon as his Dhondopant's father Raghunath heard the news, he came immediately. Where are you going? You know, many times happens when devotees join the temple. You know, fathers come. In our temple in Chopati, one boy joined the Brahmachari ashram. And our policy was anyone can come in, anyone can go. Parents come to us and say, take your son, we have no problem, take. He came on his own, he can go on his own, you take him, convince him. One guy joined the Brahmachari ashram. And within 1 week his family came with a jeep. And they came, barged into the Brahmachari ashram. Come with us. This guy wouldn't go. So they brought two huge guys, his cousins. Two of them held his hands, two his legs. And like a swing, they held him and came straight down into the temple courtyard to put him in the jeep. And this Brahmachari was shouting, save me, save me. And all the Brahmacharis quiet, doing nothing. You know, because they can't do that. Parents are taking, you do whatever you want with your son, you know. They dumped him into the jeep, took him. And for 1 month, this Brahmachari was under house arrest. Locked in a house, literally locked. The mother would come and give prasad, lock the house and go out. And after a month, mothers, you know, he said to the mother, 1 month, I mean, let me go out. You know. And as he went out with his cousin, he won the confidence of the cousin. Few times he went out, ran away again. And the mother and father realized, can't get him back. Raghunath, when he heard Dhondopant is gone, he came, said, hey, your wife is there. How can you take sannyas like this? Come back. He dragged him back home. And in the night, when Dhondopant was with his wife in the room, by the power of Akshubhya Tirtha and Madhvacharya's memories, he suddenly turned into a cobra in front of his wife. And the wife yelled and screamed. Of course, no one can do that today. Don't worry. None of the ladies have to be worried. Husbands don't have mystical potencies like Dhondopant. The father realized, I have to give my son away. And if you read the parampara of our acharyas in the Gita, this Dhondopant became Jayatirtha. Right. He is one of the acharyas in the Bhagavad Gita parampara that we read. It was his Dhundupant who was Jayatirtha. And that man who wrote the maximum commentaries in the Madhva Sampradaya on all the Vedic literatures. When Madhvacharya would say, the bull will write, the bull will write, the bull will write. Truly the bull wrote. In his next life, when he became Jayatirtha, the sannyasi who took sannyas from Akshobhyatirtha. And therefore the power of serving a Vaishnava can never be undermined. There is power in serving the Lord. But the power in serving a devotee who is dear to the Lord and the blessings that come from a devotee, the mystical potency that one gets to preach, the mystical potency that one gets to distribute books, the mystical potency that one gets to serve, to manage, by the power of blessings, cannot compare to skills, abilities, talents, resources, you know. And therefore, here was Dhundupant. By serving Madhvacharya in the form as a bull, he became Jayatirtha, writing extensive commentaries on the Vedic literatures, the most renowned commentator in the Madhva Sampradaya. That is the power of pleasing a Vaishnav, serving a Vaishnav and getting the blessings of a Vaishnav. Here was Maharaj Pratap Rudra, getting something which was beyond his abilities, beyond his skills, beyond his talents, beyond his resources. Blessings. Blessings of Ramananda Rai. Blessings of all the residents of Kulinagram. Blessings of all the residents of Shrikhanda. Serving them, pleasing them. So much so that Ramananda Rai couldn't resist. He told Lord Chaitanya, my dear Lord, how much he has done for me. He has freed me only under your orders. Please bless him. And this was the first time that Lord Chaitanya's heart changed. A devotee has the power to change the heart of the Lord. A devotee has the ability to change the heart of the Lord. Ramananda Rai, by talking about Maharaj Pratap Rudra, melted Lord Chaitanya's heart. Tomate je priti hoil, tomate je eto priti hoilo rajar. Ei gune Krishna tare koribe angikar. He said, my dear Ramananda Rai, anyone who loves you, anyone who loves you, tomate je priti hoila, I can say for sure, very soon, Krishna angikar, Krishna will accept him. And who is Krishna? Here is Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He can't say, I'll accept him. He's not saying, I will accept him. He's saying, very soon, Krishna will accept him. And this was the next document, you know, the seventh document that he had in place. His service to the Vaishnavas, which is more powerful than service to the Lord himself. The eighth quality, the eighth visa document that Maharaj Pratap Rudra filed, was non-enviousness. He was not envious. When a subordinate gets mercy, when a subordinate gets a lot of time, when a subordinate makes progress, then the heart burns through this feeling called as envy. He has come after me. He's a younger devotee. He doesn't hold the same position as I do. He has not done the same things that I have done. And yet, he gets the time. He gets the mercy. And I don't. My God. That insecurity, that envy, can disturb and agitate the mind of a practitioner devotee. A sadhaka. Very difficult. And yesterday in our evening talk, I was sharing this. That everyone's envious in this world. Everyone's envious in this world. Because this is rooted. This material world is rooted on this principle called envy. You know, monks are envious of each other. Brahmacharis can be envious of each other wearing saffron. Supposed to be renounced. But can be envious of each other's knowledge. He knows more, I know less. He gives better talks, he gives lesser talks. He sings better kirtans, he can't sing better kirtans. He has more fanfare, he has less fanfare. More people like him, less people like him.
My God.
And amongst householders, grihasthas, envy is about things. Homes, money, brands, gadgets, cars. And I was discussing yesterday, when two couples meet each other, you know, the ladies are looking at each other's saris. And the men are looking at each other's wives. The ladies are feeling envious of each other's saris. And the men are feeling envious of each other's wives.
My God. Envy is a very, very deeply rooted disease in this material world.
And to be on the path of grace, to achieve grace, one of the documents that needs to be filed to get the visa is non-enviousness. In the Gita, Lord Krishna says to Arjun that I am giving you this knowledge because you are anasuyave.
You know, Dattatreya was an incarnation of the Lord. He preached impersonalism and Srila Prabhupada said we don't take his teachings, but he was a Leela avatar. Dattatreya comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
And the parents of Dattatreya, their names were Atri and Anasuya. Atri Rishi and Anasuya Devi. Although technically their names are there, but there is deep significance to their name. Tri in Sanskrit means three. And Atri means not three. Not three. Mar means die, death. Amar means one who doesn't die. Tri is three and Atri is not three. And therefore, Gita explains there are three gates to hell. Lust, anger and greed. Atri means one who is freed from lust, anger and greed. That's Atri. Freed from the three gates to hell. Lust, anger, greed. Asuya means envy. Anasuya means no envy. Atri, the father of Dattatreya. Anasuya, the mother of Dattatreya. But in life, they represent very important qualities. Atri means freedom from the three gates to hell. Lust, anger and greed. And Anasuya, Asuya, envy. Anasuya, freed from envy. When one is freed from lust, anger, greed, Atri, and when one is free from envy, Anasuya, the combination of Atri and Anasuya gives birth to Dattatreya. And therefore, when there is freedom from these three and freedom from enviousness, then bhakti arises in the heart. Bhakti is born in the heart. The Lord takes shelter of the heart of the practitioner. Right? Takes ashraya of the heart of the practitioner. And therefore, freedom from envy is such an important quality on the path of grace. Doesn't come easy. Easier said than done. There's a big fight. And yesterday we were talking in our evening talk, no sincere devotee wants to be envious. No one. No sincere devotee who has core sincerity wants to be envious. But the conditioned nature is so strong. Srila Prabhupada gave the analogy of the fan. When we practice Krishna consciousness, the current is stopped. But the momentum of the fan is on. So the core sincerity is there. I don't want to think like this of this other devotee. I don't want my heart to burn like this when I see someone's prosperity and progress materially or spiritually. But the conditioned nature, so strong, just takes over. And one goes through these feelings. Sometimes the heart burns so much that the devotee for whom the heart burns can smell the stink. You know. My God. Very, very dangerous and detrimental quality. Therefore, a sincere devotee fights, struggles, tries to keep it away. With deliberate, conscious effort, with sharp viveka, intelligence, with guidance from mature Vaishnavas, and with the shelter of prayer, a devotee tries to fight this vicious quality of asuya and tries to become anasuya and tries to get the qualities of Atri. And when Atri and Anasuya come together, then what is born is Dattatreya, the Lord, the Leela avatar of the Lord. The Leela avatar comes in the life of a devotee. The Lord comes in the life of a devotee. You know, and yesterday I was also telling this thing, that therefore, We should never think devotees are envious. Devotees cannot be envious. Devotees are never envious. Even a simple practitioner devotee cannot be envious. It's just the conditioned nature. There is a deep down, there is a sincerity, core sincerity. And we look at that intention. We look at that intention, that sincerity of how this devotee is struggling to deal with this envy, how he's struggling to keep it away, fighting it out. And we look at the sincerity of the intention of that person and not see the external manifestation of unpleasant dealings. Sometimes when we are dealt with in an unpleasant way because of someone's envy, we become the object of envy. We get an attitude towards the person thinking he is like that. He is not like that. No devotee is like that. It is just the fan, the momentum. Momentum is just making him do it. And therefore yesterday I was giving this example of how a father was asking a son, "Beta, how much is 9 into 8? And the child said, 62. And the father gave him a chocolate. The neighbor was watching. He said to the guy, "You're doing violence to your son. 9 into 8 is 72, not 62. He gave a wrong answer and you're still giving him a chocolate?" The father said, "Yesterday he was saying 52. He was saying 52. Today he has gone from 52 to 62 and it is such a progress. And tomorrow he'll go from 62 to 72 and that will be the right answer. I am waiting for that day when he comes to 72. But till he reaches 72, I must reward every baby step from 52 to 72. That's Krishna. That's a Vaishnava. When we come to Krishna consciousness, we may be at 2, what to speak of 52. And our journey is from 2 to 72. And if from 2 someone has moved to 12, we don't see how away he is from 72, we see how ahead he is from 2. You know. And every step he makes from 2 to 12 to 22 to 32 to 42 to 52 to 62 should be rewarded. Should be rewarded, should be appreciated. We shouldn't calibrate a person from 72. We should calibrate a person from where he was and where he has come. And truly, compared to what one was before, what a difference we feel when we chant Hare Krishna. What a difference we feel in the association of devotees in regards to the anarthas and the envy that we have in the heart. We are different. We are different from before. Now we are aware we shouldn't do it. We are putting effort not to do it. It's just the conditioned nature that sometimes overwhelms us. And therefore a sincere sadhaka fights this asuya to get this quality of being anasuya. Maharaj Pratap Rudra, oh my God, he had no envy in his heart at all. Absolutely not. Ramananda Rai was not even an equal. He was a subordinate. And a subordinate was getting that mercy. Not just mercy. Pratap Rudra just wanted darshan. Once going and being face to face with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Ramananda Rai didn't just get darshan. 1 week dialogue with Lord Chaitanya on the banks of River Godavari. What mercy. Not just darshan. Sitting and talking for 1 full week. And what discussions? The most confidential of all tattvas. The tattva of Srimati Radharani. Such confidential, intimate discussions. My God, the more someone sees, gets such confidential mercy, na, the heart can go through something. Maharaj Pratap Rudra did not say, "Transfer Ramananda Rai. Transfer Ramananda Rai from him. No position now in my kingdom. Otherwise he gets too much mercy of Lord Chaitanya." He didn't. This came as a test for his envy. This mercy to Ramananda Rai was nothing but a test. Maharaj Pratap Rudra, will he file his document properly for the visa? Will he get influenced by envy? Or will he still continue to maintain the same attitude towards Ramananda Rai of camaraderie, friendship, affection, appreciation? And what to speak of Ramananda Rai? What an amazing personality. He was a politician. Rupa Goswami, politician. Shukdev Goswami, politician. I'm sorry, not Shukadev. Sorry. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. You know why Shukadev Goswami came to my mind? Because in my abbreviations, in my notes, many times I write SG, both for Sanatan Goswami and Shukadev Goswami. You know. Rupa Goswami, in politics. Sanatan Goswami, in politics. Ramananda Rai, Kaviraj Goswami says, Rajamantri Ramananda Vyavahare Nipun. Rajamantri. He was a mantri. The king's mantri, a politician. Rajamantri Ramananda Vyavahare Nipun. But he was very, very expert in politics. Diplomatic man. He knew all the ways of being diplomatic in political dealings in the kingdom. Working for Maharaj Pratap Rudra as the minister of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. You know what is the greatness of these devotees like Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Ramananda Rai? They were great politicians, expert politicians. When they came to the association of devotees, they were expert politicians, but amongst devotees they had no politics. You know? Sometimes, amongst devotees, one is not an expert politician, but by coming in the association of devotees, one becomes Rajmantri. A very expert politician. He was a Rajmantri, expert politician. In the association of devotees, he kept his Rajmantri side away. And many times one is not a Rajmantri. But by coming in the association of Vaishnavas, one starts becoming an expert Rajmantri. Very political. The greatness of Chaitanya Charitamrita is freedom from enviousness. That is a speciality of this book. The speciality of this book, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the speciality of the characters of this book is freedom from asuya, envy. Rajamantri Ramananda, Vyavahare Nipun, very expert in his Vyavahar, very expert in his dealings, knew very well to be diplomatic. But what did he use his diplomacy for? He used his diplomacy to push Pratap Rudra close to Lord Chaitanya. In the association of devotees, all expertise is used to see how others can be pushed to get the mercy. What a beautiful competition. Pratap Rudra pushed Ramananda Rai. You don't have to work. I'll give you a full salary. You go and serve Lord Chaitanya. And Ramananda Rai was trying to push Maharaj Pratap Rudra to come close to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, ISKCON is a pushing movement. Srila Prabhupada said that. He said, ISKCON is a pushing movement where a devotee pushes, till finally he goes back to Godhead. But ISKCON is also a pushing movement because we follow a lady, the Divine Mother, who is known for her pushing. The Divine Mother, Srimati Radharani, all she knows is pushing others close to the Lord. When Krishna likes some gopi, Srimati Radharani does not grow through asuya. That this gopi or this manjari is getting more time from Krishna and more attention from Krishna. Srimati Radharani is only concerned about Krishna's pleasure and she pushes the devotees towards Krishna. You go. Rajamantri Ramananda Vyavahare Nipun. Rajamantri, very expert in his dealings. What did he do by his diplomacy? Raja Priti Kahi Dravaila Prabhurman. He spoke to Lord Chaitanya about Maharaj Pratap Rudra's devotion and love in such a way. Dravaila Prabhurman. He melted the heart of God. He melted the heart of God, not for himself. He melted the heart of God for someone else. And that goes to prove how Chaitanya Charitamrita is a book where there is no envy. Chaitanya Charitamrita is a book of pushing. Push the other devotee close to Mahaprabhu. Push the other devotee close to Mahaprabhu. Pratap Rudra pushing Ramananda Rai close to the Lord. Ramananda Rai pushing Pratap Rudra close to the Lord. Amazing interaction. Incredible interaction between the devotees. Srila Prabhupada, similar. Bhavananda Prabhu once asked Srila Prabhupada, when I go back to the spiritual world, how will I recognize you? And Prabhupada said, you don't worry, I will recognize you. You don't have to bother about your recognition. I will recognize you. And Srila Prabhupada told Bhavanand Prabhu something very amazing. He said, when you come to the spiritual world and when I'm there, I shall take you by the hand in the closest kunjas of Golok Vrindavan, take you right in front of Krishna, face to face. Prabhupada told this to Bhavanand Prabhu. I'll take you in front of Krishna face to face, leave you there, and then I shall leave. Srila Prabhupada was the one, and is the one, and will be the one, who has given us everything in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He is the personality because of whom we are all here. He is the personality whose sacrifices, whose hard labor, has brought us all to Krishna Consciousness. And what is his mood? I simply want to push you to Krishna. I'll put you in that kunja with Krishna and I shall leave. Then you and Krishna alone, he said to Bhavananda Prabhu. And therefore, this quality of Anasuya is the document that Pratap Rudra Maharaj had. He saw Ramananda Rai receiving so much mercy from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Such incredible, intimate mercy. He had only wanted a darshan. And Ramananda Rai had much more, a subordinate man. But still, Pratap Rudra Maharaj was non-envious. That is Vaikuntha. Spiritual world is characterized by his freedom from enviousness. Where pushing others to serve is the goal of a devotee. The third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam has a description of Vaikuntha. And there it says, all the birds, the cuckoo bird, the swans, all of these birds, especially the cuckoo, can sing so beautifully. But when the bees come around the garland of Krishna and start humming, singing their song glorifying Krishna, which is also called as the Bhramara Geet in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The bees don't sing as sweet as the cuckoo bird, but the cuckoo bird keeps quiet. And Prabhupada translates, there is a lull. Prabhupada translates that verse. There is a lull in the atmosphere of Vaikuntha because all the birds fall silent, pin drop silence, simply to hear the bees singing the glories of the Lord, because they know that this Bhramara Geet, this globe, the buzzing of the bees, pleases the Lord a lot. Prabhupada said once in Kolkata, he said, what is the standard of excellent deity worship? He said, when the deity worship is excellent, he said, then there are bumblebees and honeybees hovering around the garland of Krishna. Because one time in a garland in Kolkata, a honeybee was going around the garland. Prabhupada said, Krishna is very pleased. Because the honeybee is hovering around, you know. Of course, that doesn't mean if the honeybee is not around, he is not pleased. He always pleased. The principle is, Krishna loves the singing of the bees. And all the flowers, the kunda, the champaka, kalhara, all these plants and flowers, all of them have such fragrance, many of these flowers. But when Tulsi comes, they know Krishna loves Tulsi. It doesn't matter if we are not there. Tulsi has to be there at the feet of Krishna. That is Vaikuntha. All the flowers together say, Krishna's pleased by Tulsi, Tulsi. All the birds keep quiet, Krishna's pleased by the bees, bees should sing. Therefore, Vaikuntha atmosphere means pushing others. Whatever the Lord and the Vaishnava and the Guru is pleased by. And non-enviousness. You know. And such a community gives immunity against the material energy. A community which is based on the principles of non-enviousness, cooperation and pushing others gives tremendous immunity against the material energy. In Sanskrit, yesterday I was mentioning this in the talk. In Sanskrit, even giving a gali, abusive word, is very nice. Language is beautiful. It sounds very poetic. A donkey is called Vaishakhanandan. You know. One can call someone, a donkey is called Vaishakhanandan. And then if one says to someone, Aho Vaishakhanandan, aha, he thinks he's composing a Sanskrit verse on his glories or something. And you know what is the meaning of Vaishakhanandan? Why a donkey is called Vaishakhanandan? Vaishakh is the summer season in India. And a donkey is called Vaishakhanandan, the son of the summer season. Quite stunning. How can someone be the son of the summer? Nandan means like Yashoda Nandan. He's called Vaishakhanandan, the son to the summer season. You know why? Because in India, the summer is really hot. Especially Vrindavan can get 48 degrees Celsius, 50 degrees Celsius. Vrindavan, Delhi, Jaipur, very, very hot. And the donkey in the summer season sees that all the grass is dried up. Everywhere you only see brown land. And little, some little grasslet, little tiny shoots of grass. So the donkey moves on. And in the summer season, the donkey becomes very fat. He's called the son of Vaishakh. Because when there's hardly any grass to eat, he becomes fat. And in the monsoon, there is so much grass to eat and he becomes thin. That's why he's called Vaishakhanandan. The son of the summer season. You know why? Because when the donkey finds the little shoots of grass, moves on, eats a little bit, and looks behind, and sees no grass left, only empty land, he thinks, I've eaten so much. I practically emptied the whole ground of the grass, and thinking like that, the donkey becomes fat. He's a donkey after all. He's a donkey, an ass, so he thinks like that. And therefore he's called the son of the summer season, Vaishakhanandana. And in the monsoon season, when it's raining and grass is in ample quantities, the donkey turns back and sees, so much grass, I don't think I've eaten enough. And keeps going thin. You know? And he's called Vaishakhanandana because of his comparative mentality. Comparing. Oh, I have a seeing behind, I didn't eat much. Seeing behind, I had much. Envy comes because of this comparison. A person, a devotee who is satisfied, will never compare himself with others. And a devotee who compares with others will never be satisfied. A satisfied devotee never compares. And a comparing devotee is never satisfied. Always the principle of envy will burn in the heart, you know. Ramananda Rai never compared to Pratap Rudra. Pratap Rudra Maharaj never compared himself to Ramananda Rai. He had deep appreciation for the mercy that Ramananda Rai had. And therefore he filed his 7th document in place, which was Anasuya, non-enviousness. After a while, Sarvam Bhattacharya went and told Lord Chaitanya, King, such a man, he's such a man, please give your mercy. And Lord Chaitanya said, if you next time tell me, any of you ever tell me this again, to meet this king, I'm going. I've come back from South India to Puri. If you tell me to meet the king again, I shall leave Puri and go to Alalnath and not come back again. So everyone was scared now. Lord Chaitanya was taking a very strong stance. My God, too much testing of the devotee, na? Hare Krishna. Too much of a strong... Look at this man's qualities. Taking a very strong stance. Pratap Rudra came to know. And the next document, the 8th document he put in place, was his humility. You know, Pratap Rudra Maharaj said, "Ami chhara yogya nahi, tar darshane, tare te bhaje tar safala nayane." Anyone who gets a chance to serve him and see him, his eyes are perfected. Ramananda Rai, your eyes are perfected. "Ami chhara yogya nahi." I don't have yogyata. I don't have the qualification for his darshan. And therefore the 8th document that he had up in his place was, you know, that he was humble. He felt he was undeserving. He was not qualified. Many times when we do a lot of service, we think we deserve the attention. When we do a lot of work, hard work, serve, we think we deserve that attention. And sometimes people even come and say, I did so much. Come on, I did so much. At least announce. You didn't call me for a volunteer. You didn't call me for this. You didn't call me. Hurry, at least announce. What is this? People think they deserve. Pratap Rudra was a person who should have actually thought, I deserve, no? I arranged for a house, I did this, I freed Ramanandra, I am giving a full pension, a full salary, I am doing everything, and this God doesn't look at me. He is giving attention to the smallest person in Jagannath Puri, and he doesn't look at me. Humility is a quality of the heart where one thinks that one doesn't deserve. As soon as one thinks one deserves, humility is gone and gratitude is gone. The undeserving quality of the heart breeds humility. And then whatever comes, one is very grateful. In the world, everyone thinks I deserve. There was a boy, he told his father, he turned 18, he got his driving license. I don't know if it's 18 here. In India, it's 18. In America, he got his driving. I want a driving license. The father said, okay, go. He was 18, he got a driving license. He was excited. He told his father, now I have my driving license. I want my car. The father said, okay, your grades are very bad. Your school grade should go up. And you don't read the Bible. I want to see you reading the Bible daily. And you have such long hair. First get a haircut, decent haircut. Then I'll get you a car. Few weeks later, the son came to the father and said, Papa, car? Have the driving license. He said, yeah, good. You improved on all your grades also. Very good. You were on C, now you're going to B. Good. And in regards to your, reading of the Bible, I saw you were reading the Bible daily. Very good. But this long hair, not yet cut your long hair. Go get a decent haircut first. The son said, Papa, I've been reading the Bible. And in the Bible, Samson had long hair. John the Baptist had long hair. Moses had long hair. And even Jesus Christ had long hair. So why are you against it? The father said, no problem. Yes, you're right. And Samson, Moses, John the Baptist, and Jesus all walked. They didn't have a car. So now, I think, why do you need a car in spite of having this driving license? And therefore, one of the qualities that we have is when we do something, we think we deserve. Because I have this, now I deserve. Because I did this, I deserve. I raised my grades, I did this, so I deserve the car. But the nature of the conditioned soul is to think that I deserve, you know. Pratap Rudra Maharaj never felt that he deserved. He thought, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, I don't deserve. Ami chara yogya nahi tara darshane, I am not qualified for that darshan. Ramananda Rai, you are fortunate. Tare jai bhaje tara safala nayane. Safala nayane. Your eyes are perfected. By beholding his beautiful form always and serving him, you have perfected your life. When things don't go our way, one can usually play the blame game. Because this devotee didn't do this, because he didn't do this. To take the onus and responsibility on oneself is very hard. Pratap Rudra Maharaj didn't play the blame game. He didn't go and tell Sarvam Bhattacharya, Gurudev, you did not give my full profile to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have not given a proper introduction. That's why he is not meeting me. He didn't change his loyalty. In great humility, Pratap Rudra Maharaj continued to be and remain on the path of grace. The 9th document that Pratap Rudra Maharaj filed, there are 16 visa documents that he filed. We are still on the 9th and I'll finish at 9. On the 9th document. Right. Nothing to worry. We'll finish on the 9th at 9. Sharp. The 9th document, that visa document that Pratap Rudra Maharaj put in place, was his patience. When reciprocation doesn't come, when things don't work, we become impatient. And the modern civilization is meant to teach us impatience. The modern civilization is meant to teach us impatience. We don't have the patience to brew coffee. Decaffeinated. Talking in a Hare Krishna temple, so it has to be decaffeinated coffee. Decaf. Previously, I don't know how many of anyone here from South India, Chennai, Madras, someone from South India, there was something called as filter coffee. And to prepare that filter coffee, you know, my God, it was a task to do that. Task to do that. Any traditional cooking, tremendous task. Now, instant food. Instant. Boil the noodles. Spices come, add the spices. Eat. Put a coin, a can of drink comes out. Slot machine. Put this, everything comes out. Patience is far. In India, my God, lot of patience because machines never work. So there is no choice but to be patient. One of our devotees from America, he came and we were traveling on a train journey to Mayapur and the fan was not working. So this devotee, Brahmachari, he asked the next man who had hair. Brahmachari has no hair. So he asked this next man, can I have your comb? Brahmachari is what they will do with the comb. But sometimes even they have comb. To comb their shikha. Like Chanakya Pandit, long shikha. Comb their shikha. So he asked this man, can I get your comb? So this guy gave the comb. And this American devotee is watching. Why he wants comb? Bald guy, why he wants comb? He was thinking, is he going to comb his shikha and groom his shikha or what? But he didn't do that. This Indian devotee, Brahmachari, took the comb and the fan that was not working. He used that fan, that comb to push the fan. Anyone who's gone in Indian trains, especially Mumbai trains, has seen this very often. It's a very powerful switch. When pushed, starts the fan. And the fan started. And this American man was stunned. He said, is it the static energy of the fan that made the comb that made the fan revolve or what? This guy said, no, no. In India, this is called dhakka start. It's called dhakka start. Dhakka lagao, it'll start. Push, it'll start. You know. And this American man, devotee, made a very pertinent observation in the train, which I can never forget. He said, that is why Indian people are very good at solving problems. He said, that is why the whole Silicon Valley in America is full of Indian software engineers. Because they are patient in solving problems because nothing works anyways. Tremendous patience in dealing with things. In the West, nothing works. A pen doesn't work, throw it. Get a new one. This doesn't work, throw it. Get a new one. I have a problem with this devotee in relationship, throw it. Get a new devotee. Let me have a new relationship with the devotee. What is the problem? Use, throw. We would use handkerchiefs first, wash them and again dry. Now we use a tissue. Use, throw. You know, to use a kerchief made of cloth, it would need patience to wash it, dry it, iron it, use it. Wash it, dry it, iron it, use it. The modern, I'm not saying get back to kerchiefs. That's not the message. We have to do what's necessary. We are living in the 21st century. But the modern civilization has taken away a very important virtue from us. The virtue of moving on with patience and waiting to get what we want. We want everything now, right now. I put the coin, I want the can now. 30 seconds delay. 30 seconds delay, I'll go and complain your machine doesn't work. How can I wait 30 seconds? Wait. Pratap Rudra Maharaj had this 9th document called patience. Willing to wait. Paramakripalute ho Brajendra Nandan. Brajendra Nandan, Krishna, Chaitanya. Paramakripalu is very merciful. Kona janme mora avashya dibe na darshan. Not even in this life. Kona janme. In some life. I am now filing my visa documents. I don't get a visa this life na. Okay. No problem. Kona janme. Some life if he grants my visa na. I'm okay. Pratap Rudra Maharaj had the patience to wait and struggle to achieve the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even in the material world, on the material field, people can be so patient to get material things. But in Krishna consciousness, one becomes very impatient. You know, outside to get material things, people are so patient. to get a degree so patient. We have two brahmacharis in our temple who have two PhDs from the most reputed universities of the world. Two PhDs. They did their graduation, they did their post-graduation, they did their first PhD, they did their second PhD, they were on their way to a postdoc, super specialization. And they came in contact with Prabhupada's movement. So now they are PhD in the temple, pothole digger. In the gardens of one of our brahmacharis who is a PhD digs holes in our farm in Wada. He knows, Sundar Madhav Prabhu knows him. Right. Balram Shakti Prabhu digs holes, double PhD man, pothole digger, PhD. My God, too much. Such patience. There was a man in Africa, and this man in Africa wanted a son. Got married, didn't get a son. First one was a daughter. He tried with his wife second time, got a daughter. Third time, daughter. He got five daughters from the first wife. How many daughters will he get? So he kept marrying some other. He thought she's a jinx. So he started marrying other ladies, tribal ladies in Africa. And believe me, this is a real story. This African man got 63 daughters. 63 daughters. He had the patience to keep going to get that one dream son. And the 64th was a son. And this man grew up to be a young teenager at 17, and a book distributor came to him. Gave him a Bhagavad Gita as it is. This guy read the whole Gita and joined the temple as a brahmachari. After waiting, after 63 daughters to get a son, this guy goes and joins the brahmachari ashram. My God. People have such patience to move on and go on. Maharaj Pratap Rudra filed his document of patience to get the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I am told that I can move on with this some other time, the same lecture series, and conclude on this some other time in the future weeks. But till now we have seen the 9 documents, visa documents filed by Maharaj Pratap Rudra. First, approaching the right person, Sarvam Bhattacharya. Secondly, the intense desire to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thirdly, faith in the words of the Guru, Sarvam Bhattacharya. Fourthly, service attitude towards the Lord by arranging a house for the Lord. Fifth, undemanding. Although all the simple devotees were getting entry in Kashi Mishra's house, he was not demanding. Right. Sixthly, he had his service not only to the Lord, but to the devotees, Ramananda Raya and other residents of Mayapur, as we discussed today. Seventh, we discussed, he had the quality of anasuya, non-enviousness. Eighth, his humility, that I am not qualified, I am undeserving. And ninth, patience, to continue treading the path of grace. And soon, mercy will start coming. Already, Lord's heart has melted. Ramananda Raya has already melted the Lord's heart. And he's already said, E gune Krishna tare koribe angikar. Because, my dear Ramananda, he loves you, the king loves you. Very soon, Krishna will accept you. As soon as the heart is changed, now the physical manifestation of the mercy is about to come. 16 documents he filed and 6 visas he got. 6 installments of mercy, which we will discuss at some later point of time. I thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Yeah.